What's up, football fans? Welcome to Role Models, the number one fantasy football podcast for the Remember the Titan Fantasy Football League. I'm your host, Chip Setterfield, joined by the guy who's probably not making the playoffs, Christopher Reiser.
Nope, not making the playoffs, but I don't think any of us are going to make the playoffs. There's only one of our co-hosts that has a chance to, but I don't think any of us are making the playoffs.
All right. I'm also joined by another guy who's probably not making the playoffs, Brian Wolf.
I'm a little more optimistic for Chip's chances.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, you and I, we're seated at the poop bowl table right now.
Yep.
Classic. Yep. I'm not liking my chances against AB this week. I have some question marks on my team, bunch of injuries. He has good old Patty Mahomes. Like, I don't know, man. I might lose to AB and just be out. It'd be real tough. It'd be a tough look.
Oh, wouldn't you join? You'd be with great company at that point. You can join Chris and I in the poop bowl.
I don't want our podcast to become about the poop bowl.
I mean, you know, it's how the cookie has crumbled this year, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Chris, did you turn off your mic because you're playing Forza again?
No, I was looking at the app.
And now, some news from the league. Waivers ran, and Chris picked up Curtis Samuel, beating out three others, spending 10 fab. How much fab you got left, Chris?
40.
40? That's kind of a lot.
Really? Wow.
It's like you weren't active on the waiver wire.
I wonder you're bringing up the rear with me.
Yeah. Ethan peaked? He might have peaked. I don't know Ethan that well. Ethan picked up Miles Sanders. Tim picked up Kenny Pickett, and Andrew picked up the Jacksonville DST. Not the most exciting waivers. Curtis Samuel was by far the most bid on. After waivers ran, shit was exciting. Lots of drops that we aren't going to cover here, but there's some other stuff. So after waivers, Tim immediately dropped Kenny Pickett. We will cover that drop because it's funny to watch. Kooks picked up the Chargers DST and then immediately dropped them. Kooks then picked up Tyler Higbee. AB picked up the Kansas City DST, which makes me sad. If he beats me, I just dropped him like last week. I like dropped him like Monday night.
What's their matchup this week?
That is a good question. They play Green Bay. So he's got Patty Mahomes and the defense. So hopefully that's a boring game.
I mean, Green Bay smoked the Lions last week, so...
Yeah, a shootout is exactly what I want to happen.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a shootout necessarily. I don't know.
Back to after waivers. Kooks picked up the Chargers DST one more game. Real will they, won't they situation. Ethan picked up Zach Ertz, who, is he going to clear waivers? Like, did he get dropped?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I
think I saw that he had interest from the Eagles and Ravens as of today.
So that's some spicy shit out of Ethan. And then Tim picked up the Falcons DST. Chris, tell us, out of all this stuff, what's your waiver of the week?
I mean, realistically, it's my pickup of Curtis Samuel because like four people bet on him. But I think it's a stupid answer. I don't want to go with myself. So I'm just going to go for the first time this season. I'm going to go with the defense. Chiefs defense. I don't even know who picked them up. I forget already. I think three people bet on the Chiefs defense. I'm not really sure why, but that's my waiver of the week.
Yeah, there's a bunch of defenses with good matchups just like on the waiver wire. And for whatever reason, the Chiefs was like, it was three people bid on them. I mean, they're a good defense, but the matchup against Green Bay is not fantastic. And there's some like, whoever's playing the Jets is still out there. Whoever's playing Atlanta is still out there. Like, I don't know. It was some weird stuff. You immediately put Curtis Samuel in. You think he'll get 12 targets again this week?
Hell no, but I got to put somebody in.
Sure. That's the right answer. They play Miami. Might be a shootout. You can hope for it.
Hopefully.
And there's no trades because the deadline passed last week. So it's last minute trade. I we talked about it last week, but yeah, no more trades.
Really coming up to the end of the season here. It's I wouldn't say it snuck up on me, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like football should be over in a few weeks here.
I feel like there's just not very many trades. Like, I feel like every season there's not many trades.
Is that what you feel like?
Am I wrong?
There's a few trades this year. I got in the mix with like three or four.
I feel like there's a pretty average amount. I feel like people who don't normally trade actually traded. Like Brandon, this is like the first time I've ever seen him trade, and that was with you, Chip, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Derrick Henry trade.
Mm-hmm. And then you got, I mean, not that it counts as a trade, but Kooks was actually active on waivers today, doing things.
But, like, there's also more people in the league this year. There's 14. Mm-hmm. So you'd think with more people, there'd be more trades. I just wish there were a lot of trades. Like, I wish every week there were multiple trades, or at least one trade to talk about, because that would be really interesting.
Okay, well, you should make trades happen then.
I can't be the only one.
You can be. Just make it happen. Trade away your best players.
Chris, I've traded like 5 times this season.
Yeah, there's been plenty of trades, dog.
I can probably count if I really went back through the thing.
Yeah, you going back through the receipts would be riveting audio. But here's what I want to talk about instead. Is how you boys feel about the league this year? I feel like this is what you're getting at, Chris. I feel like you know it's not a perfect league to you. I want to talk about like we now have 14 teams, one less flex than last year, a little bit of shorter bench. How you guys feeling about this? You have any thoughts for next year? Any rule changes you want to be putting in the poll that we put out at the beginning of next year?
So. I actually was thinking about this driving a couple days ago. I don't know how well it would go over, but I would love to enforce a one quarterback per team rule. So my thought on that is obviously every team has one bye week. So if you absolutely love the quarterback that you drafted, you just, you know, take your lump that 1 week. If you're doing that well, you'd be fine. My thought on it is then you only have 14 quarterbacks rostered. So if there are injuries or you just want to stream or whatever, then there's a plethora of options out there. And people can't just be hoarding. Put Tim out there, for example. Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow on his team the whole season until Joe Burrow got hurt. Have a little bit more action out there for the waivers. I don't know what you boys would think about that.
First blush, I don't immediately love it. I mean, I feel like there's positional scarcity at every position. Like, there's not a lot of good waiver tight ends this year. Kind of, I mean, with this league, there's not many running backs, there's not many wide receivers. I don't know, dude. I think that one comes from you not having a quarterback. You should have drafted one earlier, bub. I don't know. I think it might be a little team bias there.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, sure, would I love a quarterback that was able to do something all season? Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I kind of disagree with the fact that there's positional scarcity. I mean, every week when waivers run, it's more or less dominated by running backs and wide receivers. You don't really see like some quarterback coming out of the woodwork that is a rookie that's just like popping off kind of deal. Like it's either happened by this point or it hasn't. Whereas you got running backs and wide receivers that have great weeks, some old guys doing it, some young guys doing it. So I don't know. I feel like a quarterback position is more streamable than any other position out there, maybe equivalent to defenses, but I don't know. I feel like if you had quarterbacks out there, I mean, if you take a look at the league right now, a lot of people are kind of just holding on to quarterbacks, and it's I don't know, it's It's making the positional scarcity even worse.
I think that's maybe something that should actually just be a takeaway for you for your draft next year, if I'm being honest with you, bub. I don't love only being able to hang on to one quarterback. I think you already have a thin bench anyway. If you're willing to roster two quarterbacks, like Tim's ostensibly been trying to use four spots to manage defense, flex, running back, and wide receiver because he has had the two quarterbacks. So, like, I think that is his disadvantage there. And, like, I don't know. I think I probably won't take a quarterback super early next year, but I might take a quarterback in the first five rounds. Because it does feel thinner this year. It feels less streamable. I'm with you. Like, I think I lucked out getting the quarterback that I have now, which is Kyler Murray. I knew that off the top of my head. Definitely didn't just click on my team. But, yeah, I think I lucked out in the last couple of weeks with Kyler returning. But before that, it was rough. I get it.
Maybe it's also just a product, too, of, like, how many injuries there have been this year. I mean, what, you have Kirk Cousins that went down. You got Rodgers that went down.
You got Burrow. There
were other big names that were just like not. I mean, Deshaun Watson.
Burrow, Tannehill. Burrow.
Yeah, like just a bunch of big names that were probably decently highly drafted just gone.
Yeah.
So that helped the landscape either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There's been plenty of. I mean, Josh Dobbs has started for two, three teams now. Like, I don't. That dude keeps getting traded, and he's not starting quarterback caliber.
No, he's showing that very evidently in Minnesota right now. But yeah, I mean, that was the only thing I was thinking of. Maybe just to, I don't know, keep things on the spicier side. Maybe roster one quarterback, but
you know,
these are just shooting shots right now.
Sure. I might try to throw in the poll for next year, rule change of, like, maybe it's a keeper league after next year.
Yeah, I mean, if we can, I mean, I feel like our roster for the league has been, I'd say at least 80-85% retention rate year over year. Like, every now and then, yeah, you'll get, like, one or two new people that get swapped in or out, whatever. But, like, I feel like other than adding Owen and Andrew this year, we've had more or less the same roster the past two or three years.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had the idea to add two more teams and do 16 and then do four divisions and, like, actually split into divisions, but I don't know. I think, one, we're already kind of, we'd have to, like, look at rosters because it's already pretty thin. Adding two teams is going to be tough.
There's a take out more positions.
Yeah. So, like, does that mean you only start one running back? Do you make the flex, like, a wide receiver instead? So it's a positional lock instead of a flex spot. Do you take out one wide receiver and one running back and then a bench of four? So the teams are very small.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all kind of wild. But, I don't know. I think 16 would be fun. It's already sort of thin. 14's tough. It's a tough league. 16 would be actively hard. But, yeah, I think if you have people willing to stick around, you know, keepers are a fun way to, even people who are, like, kind of tuned out, like, can think about keepers late in the season. Like, because you guys would be thinking about your keepers right now. You probably would have been thinking about them towards trade deadline. Like,
yeah. And then you could trade for draft picks for the next season, which adds another element to the end of year phase. Like, if you're like in Chris and my situation where you're just clearly out of it, then you can start trading for, you know, draft picks if you think someone's going to pop up next year or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be kind of neat to make this a keeper league and have it just kind of roll over every year because I don't know. I feel like then if someone just absolutely has a craptastic year, then they can build for the draft next year.
Yeah. Yeah. You go 0-3, 0-4. You just sell. You get two first round draft picks next year. Or, you know what I mean? Like, get what you can for the superstars you have. Have a shit team for a year, but then be set up for next year.
Yeah.
I love the idea of trading for draft picks.
What about keepers? I think I would, with a league this big, I think it's got to be like one. You know what I mean? And you keep them. Yeah. I like the keepers that are like at draft round. So if you want to keep, like, I wouldn't keep Nick Chubb. But if I wanted to keep Nick Chubb, I have to sacrifice it first. But if I wanted to keep, like...
That's a cool way to keep it balanced.
Yeah, and, like, free agents, like, if you lucked out with Kyren Williams or Puka Nacua and decided that you wanted that to be your keeper, they're just a last-round draft pick instead of... Yeah. I don't know. I think it's... You think about, like, how much of a positional advantage that gives you. And I probably would have sold the house early to get Kyren for next year. Like, as a last round draft pick, my RB2 being Kyren, I would have been, that would have been something I sold a lot for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah, I think that'd be cool to turn it into a keeper dynasty league. Like, I think you're right. One keeper and it's sacrificed at the round, whatever you drafted him at.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, a little, it's pretty sweet. It's a little bit of bookkeeping on your end, but I don't think it would be that hard.
No, I'd be fine with doing that. I mean, basically, it's just at the end of that season, I record. Well, not even record. Probably just have people tell me who they want as their keeper, or maybe Sleeper already has that feature in there. I'm not for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they have that feature, but. It'd be cool. They keep adding things, so I could see them adding that. But
what do you think, Chris? What are your thoughts for improving the league next year?
Yeah, Chris, give us an idea.
I was gonna say I like trading for future draft picks. I think I would do that a lot. I think that could work. Whether you, like one keeper is fine, I'm fine with that too. I think trading for draft picks can work whether you have keepers or don't have any keepers. I don't know. We have always thrown this around. Your record against the median or whatever, like that you get, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, your points against the
median. The average. Yeah. I mean, AB would be in such a better spot this year than he is now. Yeah. I mean, he's 2-10.
I would have even picked up a game or two then.
I would be out of the playoffs for sure. Like, I've benefited in the opposite direction where my average is bad. Yeah. Yeah. I've had a couple of pop-off games, but I've had some pretty dismal weeks too.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering, I feel like my first thought is if, like, in that type of league, that teams would move, like everyone would move toward the median, like record wise, like at the end, like teams would be closer to a 500 record overall. But then I also think like Owen's team, who has all the points and beats everyone, like his record would be crazy. So I don't know if that would like separate the league more or bring it closer together or keep it about the same.
I think it honestly breaks about the same, but you have people switch. Like, I think I'm a direct beneficiary of luck this year, and AB is on the opposite end where, like, luck has kind of fucked him. And I think we just swap places. I think that's how that works, is, like, I had a shaky team at the beginning, but I had, like, two or three random blow-up weeks, and now my team's like, okay. AB has had good points, but, like, awful points against. And we would just be in opposite spots where, like, he would be fighting for a playoff spot, and I would be... selling the farm for a keeper, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we can put out there. I know we've toyed with the idea of points against the mean. I think it would be a cool way to, I don't know, at least give you that consolation prize for losing to the highest points that week, being the second highest points. I mean, I can think back to the week where I lost to Kooks, where I lost like 146 to 133. Like the next highest person was Owen at like 100. Like those weeks just, honestly, they just suck so bad knowing that you lost in that exact situation. So it'd be at least a little confidence booster for those people.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we've thrown that idea out a couple of times. I do like that idea.
Are we documenting these somewhere? These are actually
I have written them down, yeah.
All right, perfect. I mean, I guess we could just listen to the recording again, but...
Yeah, we could, but listen to ourselves talk? Ugh. Anyway, on that note, we'll finish this segment. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast this week. Wolfie, you have any words of wisdom for the way out?
Yeah. So, for those of you who are fighting for the playoffs, you only got 2 weeks left. We should know how the playoffs are going to shape up here probably after this week. It's going to be lots of people winning and losing. But if you didn't make the playoffs, Chris, this pertains to you and I. There's still a chance to get a little money back, so you're not completely out of it at this point. Also, not that we would ever enforce it, but maybe we should try to figure out a SACO punishment, even though we're all, like, scattered across the U.S.
Dude, I don't know about a SACO. It would be hard to enforce. I don't hate that idea.
I don't know how you do that. I don't know. We could, maybe that could be on like an open-ended question for the poll after the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard the John Hamm story about his league?
No.
He was in a league where like the winner gets to kick somebody every year. So 11 people show up and only 10 people draft. And he hurried himself across New York only for him to sit down at the bar with like his laptop and the guy to be like, "You're fucking out, John Hamm." Anyway, Chris, say bye.
All right. I'm calling my shot now. It's going to be me and Brian in the Poop Poop Championship. I'm calling it.
Whoa. Are one of you going for title number 2 in the Poop Bowl?
This would be title number 3 for me, hanging up on the wall.
Be number 2 for me.
Whoa. Titans of the Poop Bowl. Here we go.
Someone's got to win it.